this evening in John chapter 17. Tonight I want us to just look at two verses in John chapter 17, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Verse number 9 begins here, "I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them." The title of tonight's message is "The Continuation of the Mission of the Incarnation." The continuation of the mission of the incarnation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, again this evening we would enter into your presence and praise you for your eternal goodness. Praise you tonight, Lord, for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And praise you, Almighty God, that this morning you made it obvious to us the ultimate mission of the incarnation was to bring you glory. You sent your Son to this earth to bring you glory. And Lord, that was a message this morning that the human mind would have difficult time comprehending if it was not for the illumination of your Holy Spirit. Now tonight, Father, we will look at how we, as your children, are to be the continuation of this mission of the incarnation. Father, this is just as humanly impossible to comprehend. And so again, we come before you humbly. Humbly we come in your presence and we ask you, Almighty God, to illumine our minds with your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit take your word as it is proclaimed tonight and illumine our minds with its truth and move upon our hearts to embrace this truth and our wills, Lord, to see this truth, to see our lives conform to this truth. We pray this, Heavenly Father, in your Son's name, amen. Again, the message tonight is the continuation of the mission of the incarnation. This morning, the message was the mission of the incarnation. And so this morning, we looked at what was the mission of the incarnation. And the verse that we were primarily looking at was John chapter 17, verse 4, where Jesus, as he's praying to his Heavenly Father, and again, this is the high priestly prayer. This is a prayer of God the Son to God the Father just hours before he will be betrayed, arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. Just hours before those events, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is talking to his Father. And he says to his Father, "I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." Having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. That phrase, "having accomplished the work which you have given me to do," refers to the mission of the incarnation. And so what was the mission of the incarnation? The mission of the incarnation was for the Son to glorify the Father. And what we saw this morning, that one of the, probably the primary means by which the Son glorifies the Father is through the cross. And you can see that even in this passage. We saw it this morning, John chapter 17, verse number 1. Jesus spoke these things. After lifting up his eyes to the heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What is the hour that Jesus is talking about? It is the hour of the crucifixion, the hour of the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the culmination of Jesus' ministry as the incarnate Son of God. And this culmination of Jesus' ministry of as the incarnate Son of God is going to bring glory to the Father. Nothing glorifies the Father more than the cross. Through the cross, we come to understand God's wrath. We come to understand God's love. We come to understand God's justice. We understand His mercy. It's through the cross that we are saved. And oftentimes, as we talked about this morning, when we look at the cross, we think of salvation. And we think of what a wonderful gift it is for us and how wonderful it is to have our sins forgiven. And we're looking at the cross more from a horizontal level. And we're not looking at the cross and what it teaches us about God. You see, the cross is all about glorifying God. When we glorify God, we acknowledge Him for who He is. We acknowledge Him in all of His attributes. That's what it means to glorify God. And so the ultimate purpose of the incarnation, the ultimate mission of the incarnation was through the cross to bring glory to the Heavenly Father. Now tonight we see where that mission continues on. The mission of bringing glory to the Heavenly Father didn't just stop with Christ's ministry on this earth. It didn't come to an end when Christ was raised up from the grave and ascended on high. No, the ministry continues today, and it continues through those who are bringing glory to Christ. It continues through those who are making Christ known. You notice there in verse 10 that Jesus Christ says, I have been glorified in them. Who's he referring to? He's referring to those who believe in him. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, Christ is glorifying himself in them. Christ is making himself known through them. And when you look at verse 18, you can see how this Christ glorifying himself through us is a continuation of the mission of the incarnation. Because in verse 18, Jesus again, he's still talking to his Heavenly Father. He says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Well, how did God the Father send Jesus Christ into the world? God the Father sent Jesus Christ into the world to bring glory to the Father. And just as God the Father sent Christ into the world to bring glory to the Father, so Christ has sent us into the world to bring glory to the Father. How do we bring glory to the Father? We bring glory to the Father when Christ is glorified within us. When Christ is made known through our lives, it brings glory to the Father. How does that happen? Well, if you make Christ known, you're going to make God known. This is the ultimate end of all man, to glorify God. And we are given this opportunity to glorify God because of Christ who dwells within us. We see here in John chapter 17, verse number 1, that it is the Father that glorifies the Son. The Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son. The Son of God is glorified by the Father. God the Father glorifies God the Son. But God the Spirit also glorifies God the Son. Listen to John chapter 16, verse number 14. He, referring to the Spirit of truth, referring to the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. God the Father glorifies the Son. And God the Spirit glorifies the Son. And those who put saving faith in Jesus Christ glorify the Son. If you are here tonight and you are a child of God, if you are here tonight and you have trusted Jesus Christ as the only means to have forgiveness of your sins, if you are here tonight and you've recognized that your sin offends a holy God, and you've recognized tonight that because your sin offends a holy God, you are under the judgment of God, and rightly so. That is justice, that if you offend the holy of God, you must be judged. If you offend the holiness of God, you must be punished. And you understand that, and you understand there's nothing you can do about that punishment, but you see that Jesus Christ has paid for your punishment. He has died for you on the cross. And you've trusted in the work of Jesus Christ as the only means to have your sins forgiven. You are a child of God. And you, like God the Father, and you, like God the Holy Spirit, are bringing glory to Jesus Christ. You are glorifying Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that is an amazing and staggering thought to contemplate. That my life is giving glory to Jesus Christ. That I am a container of the glory of Jesus Christ. Listen to what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter writes, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why are we a chosen race? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we a holy nation? Why are we a people for God's own possession? Peter tells us. He says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My friends, that is why God has sent his Son to die on the cross, that your sins might be forgiven. The ultimate reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven is so that you could proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. Who is it that called you out of darkness? God the Father called you out of darkness. And you have been saved that you might proclaim the excellencies of God the Father. That you might glorify God the Father. How do you glorify God the Father? You glorify God the Father by glorifying Jesus Christ, his Son. You see, we are custodians of the glory of Christ. We are custodians of the glory of Christ. And the reason that we are custodians of the glory of Christ is so that the mission of the incarnation can continue. Jesus Christ came to make his Father known. He came to make his Father known through his works, through all his acts of healing, all his acts of compassion, through all the miracles that he performed. He made his Father known. He came to make his Father known through all the messages that he preached. People recognized that he preached as one who had authority. Why? Because he preached the words of his Father. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross that sinners might have their sins forgiven. But all of this was meant to glorify God the Father. And we have this distinct privilege of continuing this mission. How do we continue this mission? By being custodians of the glory of Christ. When people look at you, what does your life tell them about Christ? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, when people look at you, what does your life tell them about Christ? When they look at you, does your life say, mission accomplished? Christ has accomplished his mission. Sin in me has been broken. The power of sin has been broken. When people observe your life, do they see that through the power of Christ and through the power of the cross, the power of sin has been broken in your life? When people look at your life, do they see you as one who has actually been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the beloved, the kingdom of God's beloved Son? Do they see that? When people look at you, do they see one that knows God? That's the ultimate reason that Jesus Christ came. Not just that you might have your sins forgiven. Not that you might just be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. But that you might know God. That is the ultimate reason Christ came, that you might know God. Know his power. Know his wisdom. Know his love. Know his compassion. Know his justice. Know his hatred for sin. When people look at you, do they see that Christ accomplished his mission? Yes. This person knows God. See, if we are a custodian of Christ's glory, people will see that we know God. They will know that we know God. How is it that we can go about bringing glory to Christ? How can we better be custodians of Christ's glory? One of the first things that we need to recognize is we need to recognize the need to boast in the cross. If you want to be a custodian of the glory of Christ, if you want to be a container that contains the glory of Christ and that people can see that there's something different about you, you must learn to boast in the glory of the cross. Let me read for you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says here, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The apostle Paul has come to the point in his life where he realizes that there's only one thing to boast about in life. Not your prestige, not your job, not your children. There's only one thing really to boast about in life, and that is the cross. To boast about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. You see, as I boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, the world's allurement to me has been crucified. It can't drag me into its alluring, sinful, temptation ways because the cross has crucified the world to me. And not just that the cross has crucified the world to me, but the cross has crucified me to the world. The cross has killed that passion within me for the sinful things of the world. That's why the Apostle Paul boasts in the cross. And as he boasts in the cross, he is making the glory of Christ known. And he is becoming a container of the glory of Christ and making God known. Another way to recognize the glory of Christ is to consider Christ being crucified. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or just listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Paul writes here, "For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Do you recognize that Jesus Christ is the power of God? Do you recognize that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God? Are you still depending upon the power of man? And are you still depending upon the wisdom of man? If you are looking to the power of man to solve your problems, if you're looking to the wisdom of man to solve your problems, if you're looking to the power of man to solve your emotional and spiritual problems, if you're looking to the wisdom of the world, you're not bringing glory to Christ. You are not being a container of the glory of Jesus Christ. You are not a good custodian of the glory of Jesus Christ. You need to recognize that the power that you need in your life is the power of Christ. You need to recognize that the wisdom that you need in your life is the wisdom of Christ. Recognize those things and you'll become a custodian of the glory of Christ, and you'll be able to help continue the mission of the incarnation. A third thing to recognize is that Christ is your all in all. Christ is your all in all. Again, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 this time. "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord." Christ has become to you not just the wisdom of God, but your righteousness. All your righteousness comes from Christ. All your sanctification comes from Christ. All your redemption comes from Christ. Christ is your all in all. Christ is all that you need in this life. Christ is more than sufficient for every spiritual need that you have. Christ is more sufficient for everything that you need in this life. When we understand that, we become custodians of the glory of Christ. People are going to look at us and they're going to see Christ. And when they see Christ in us, they will see God and God will be glorified. Recognize also the need to show that you have been with Christ. Recognize the need to show others that you have been with Christ. Listen to this account in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed." So the Jewish religious leaders, they're looking at Peter and John and they're saying, well, Peter and John, they're not trained like we are. They're not educated like we are. What makes them such powerful men? They're amazed. And they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. You see, they could look at Peter and John and they couldn't believe that they were able to behave the way they behaved. And they began to recognize that these men have been with Jesus. You know, when people will most recognize that you have been with Jesus is when you're going through a difficult time. the harder the times that you go through, and the more that you are able to show that all your faith, all your trust, all your dependency, all your hope is in Christ, is the more that you will be able to show others that you have been with Jesus. You see, when you understand the mission of the incarnation is to give glory to God, and when you understand that the ultimate reason for becoming a Christian is to continue that mission, that is the ultimate reason. It is wonderful to have our sins forgiven. It is wonderful to know that we do not have to face eternal damnation, that our future is forever and ever and ever with God in heaven. These are wonderful, marvelous biblical truths. But the ultimate reason to have your sins forgiven is so that you can join in the work of giving glory to God. When you understand that, and you see yourself going through a very difficult time, and you're suffering, maybe you're suffering because you're behaving righteously and the world is persecuting you. Maybe you're suffering with disease or sickness. Maybe you're suffering with a family member that's not following the Lord. Maybe you're suffering with a family member that's dying of a disease. There's all kinds of just numerous, you can't even begin to mention all the different types of suffering you could be going through. Do you realize that the ultimate purpose for that suffering as a child of God is to show others that you've been with Jesus? And by showing others that you've been with Jesus, you give glory to God. You see why I say that these teachings are humanly impossible to accept? They are. These are humanly impossible teachings to accept. I would never even begin to venture on sharing such difficult truths with those that don't even know Jesus Christ. But knowing Jesus Christ, I know the Spirit lives within you. And the Spirit can help you accept these as absolute truth. This is absolute truth. You cannot deny that the ultimate purpose of the incarnation was to give God glory. And you can't deny that as God sent the Son into this world to give Him glory, so the Son has sent us into the world to give Him glory. Jesus makes that so perfectly clear just hours as He's getting ready to go to the cross and die for our sins. These were the things that were the most prominent things on His mind as He's going to the cross. He wants His followers to be able to glorify Him so they can give glory to the Father. One other thing to recognize is the need to point others to Christ. Recognize the need to boast in the cross. Recognize the glory of Christ having been crucified. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Recognize that Christ is your all in all. He is God's wisdom for you. He is God's righteousness for you. He is God's sanctification for you. He is God's redemption for you. Recognize the need for others to see that you have been with Christ. And finally, recognize the need to point others to Christ. Recognize the need to point others to Christ. Let me go back here to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 12. And what's happened here is Peter and John have come upon a man who's been lame from his mother's womb. He was born lame. And Peter and John, by the name of Jesus Christ, called upon this person to be healed, and he was healed. And people are just amazed. And they're wanting to give credit to Peter and John. We pick it up here in verse 12. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. And on the basis of faith in His name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see now, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of all." You see, they're not wanting the glory. They're wanting to focus the glory on Jesus Christ. They want to use this as an opportunity to call others to put faith in Jesus Christ. We see this also in Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them. being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be made known to all of you and to all of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that is given among men by which we must be saved." They are giving glory to Christ. Christ is being glorified in them. They are telling a lost world that there is only one name given under heaven by which you must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. You cannot trust in anyone else, in any other teaching, in any other philosophy. If you want to be saved from your sins, the only way to be saved from your sins is to put faith alone in Christ alone. When we can preach that message, when we can teach that message, when our life teaches that message, we are glorifying Christ. And Christ is being glorified through us. We are being custodians of the glory of Jesus Christ. And we are continuing the mission of the incarnation. As we can lead others to faith in Jesus Christ, they too will begin to see that faith in Jesus Christ is wonderful because it allows them to have their sins forgiven. But ultimately, it is all about the glory of God. And they too will begin to experience the joy of knowing God. They too will become custodians of the glory of Christ. They too will go out and make the glory of Christ known. They too will be part of this continuation of the mission of the incarnation. You know, I think David Martin Lloyd-Jones was one who I believe really understood what a unique privilege it is to be a custodian of the glory of Christ. My friends, it is a unique privilege. Very, very few human beings on this earth have this great privilege. Lloyd-Jones once said, "I am one of the few people in the world today through whom Christ is glorified. I am not here for myself or for anything I want to do. The main thing for me this day is that Christ should be glorified in me." There's only just a few select people that have the privilege of being custodians of the glory of Jesus Christ. Only those who put faith alone in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, have this distinct privilege. If you are here tonight and you are truly saved of your sins through your faith in Christ, you are in a very unique group, a very distinct group. You have a distinct privilege to be the custodian of the glory of Christ. And as you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, as you celebrate the birth of the Son of God, as you celebrate the incarnation, realize that the incarnation is ultimately about one thing, the glory of God. And that as a Christian now, you're ultimately about one thing, the glory of God. That's what you are all about. Does your life give glory to Christ? Understand the significance of this season. It's about the glory of God. It's about you having an opportunity to fulfill your creative purpose. This is why you are on this earth. Friend, you will not find happiness. You will not find joy. You will not find peace. You will not find contentment anywhere else. The only way you're going to find joy and happiness and peace and contentment is to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. You were created to give God glory. By being part of the mission of the incarnation, you can fulfill your creative purpose. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? If you have, are you a custodian of the glory of Christ? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are overwhelmed with the truths of Scripture. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Almighty God, that you're a revelatory God and that you are revealing yourself to us. I thank you, Father, that you've renewed the spirit of our minds that we might receive this revelation tonight. And I pray, Father, for anyone here tonight that is coming to grips with truth at a new level, that they will not run from it, they will not ignore it, that they will respond positively to it. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will give them the will to embrace this new revelation and give them the will, Lord, to start living a new life, to start living a life that gives glory to Christ, that you might be further glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time,